Welcome to the Future Work Playbook. This podcast series features founders, investors, and legal talent that will help you embrace technology and transform your organization for a better future. This series is hosted by Natalie Pierce, the chair of Gunderson Dettmer's Labor and Employment Law Practice. Natalie and her guests are committed to helping you develop new playbooks to elevate your game.
Hi, this is Natalie, your host for the Future Work Playbook. I'm incredibly excited to introduce our next guest. His name is Kaigo Gwilt, and he is co-founder and chief architect of global industry leader Ironclad. Ironclad raised $150 million Series E in 2022 with a $3.2 billion valuation, I might add. The 100% insider round was led by Franklin Templeton. And just listen to who else was part of that insider round. Accel, Sequoia Capital, Lux, Bond, Emergence, Haystack, and YC Continuity. With this investment, Ironclad continues building AI-powered platforms for business contracts in sales, legal, HR, marketing, really any industry that requires contracts, which is all of them. What we'll focus on for this episode is how Ironclad has not only been a leader in the implementation of a number of generative AI tools, but are also a consummate advocate of policy and responsibility. Kai has a bachelor's and master's from MIT and started his career at National Defense AI and Software Behemoth Palantir, before launching Ironclad with his co-founder, Jason Bomig, in 2014. So going on 10 years next year. Kai, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thanks so much. Okay, so to get started, can you please share with our listeners some insights on how you met your co-founder, Jason, and how you came up with the creation of Ironclad?
Absolutely. Jason and I met almost exactly 9 years ago now. So, the beginning of Ironclad are definitely just a ton of serendipity and maybe like two particular serendipitous things. The first was Jason and I actually left our old jobs before Ironclad on the same exact day, in August of 2014. So we almost exactly 9 years ago now. So Jason was an attorney at Fenwick & West. I was a software engineer at Palantir. And the particularly serendipitous thing there is neither of us actually knew each other yet. We just happened to leave our jobs on the same day. And then maybe the second serendipitous thing is both Jason and I are unreasonably excited about legal contracts. Jason being a lawyer, I think maybe that's a little bit more obvious, but my journey to being obsessed with legal contracts is as a software engineer by background, I've always been obsessed with the idea that the way humans collaborate on software is actually kind of a leading indicator of how humans are going to collaborate on other things. And so, interestingly enough, the way a contract works is actually very similar to the way code works. And so there are so many analogies between how we collaborate on code that we think can be transferred to how people should be collaborating on contracts. And so that was kind of my way in there. Jason and I actually met at a seminar at Stanford about the intersection between law and technology called Codex. And from there, we just kind of hit it off and eventually decided to start working together. And the rest is Ironclad history, I guess.
It's such a crazy and great story. And you know what it makes me think of is just what a perfect example it is of how chance favors only the prepared mind, to quote Louis Pasteur. You know, you both knew what you wanted and you were prepared to take on the challenge, not knowing that you'd be taking on the challenge together, but it's just brilliant. You meeting Jason, a lawyer who quits to start making this cool tool and you, the coder who quits to start making tools for lawyers. Yeah, it's a crazy shared passion, but absolutely love it. So thank you for that, Kai. So this season, we are solely focused on the new era of AI and the proliferation of generative artificial intelligence specifically. So I want to ask you, Kai, when did you get your first look at the technology and what were some of your first impressions?
Yeah, I guess 'tis the season of generative AI, I guess, not just on this podcast, but overall. maybe our background, our relationship with AI, my relationship with AI goes way back before this. I've been obsessed with the idea since I was a child and studied it in college. And then Ironclad, Jason and I have always thought that AI is going to change the face of legal, the face of contracting. And in fact, the very first domain name for Ironclad was in fact ironclad.ai. That's how excited we've been about it. But fast forward to today, or really more like a year ago, yeah, this new season of generative AI is definitely upon us. The very first kind of interaction we had with generative AI, weirdly, was maybe an email from Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, saying, actually, this is more 3 years ago or 4 years ago now, saying, hey, Kai, Jason, here at OpenAI, we have like this awesome new piece of technology. It's called GPT-3. It's so much better than that GPT-2 thing. You should totally try it out. And so we did. And so we've been interacting with generative AI since then, but it wasn't clear to us what the use cases were at the time. I think this is back in early 2020. And back in the August or so of 2022, just a couple of months before ChatGPT came out, I heard from one of our legal engineers, who's now Jason's chief of staff. So James came up to me and said, hey, have you tried GPT-3 recently? It seems to be really different. And I was like, okay. And I heard that the legal engineering team was kind of like messing around with GPT-3 a ton in the past week and showing each other cool things they could generate in terms of legal language. And legal engineer is this role that at Ironclad we kind of came up with as an intersection between many different practices. But the team itself is composed of incredibly intelligent people, many of whom are former attorneys, many of whom are former consultants. And so when I heard that a lot of them were getting really excited about this technology and its ability to generate legal language, my ears perked up.
Yeah.
Now my spidey senses started. Mm-hmm. And so I jumped into it. And within, I don't know, 2 weeks, we had a prototype of something pretty compelling going. And yeah, my feeling at the time was when I first saw it, I had this like feeling of terror, if I'm honest. Because it was like, it is incredible technology. It is incredible technology. And I just felt like we were executing on this wonderful plan at Ironclad that was not predicated on this technology. Mm-hmm. And I just had this sinking feeling of like, oh no, we need to change everything now. But thankfully, this sinking feeling was quickly replaced by just this feeling of excitement and all of the possibilities this technology suddenly unlocks. So yeah, definitely a little bit of initial fear, followed by, I don't know, over a year now of just excitement and joy at the possibilities.
No, there's tons of excitement and tons of nerves around what's happening at such an unprecedented rate of change. And I read somewhere that you went through Y Combinator with Sam Altman. So you and he go way back. And I love that one of the calls that he made you guys at Ironclad say, hey, check this out.
Yeah. Yeah. And OpenAI has been a longstanding Ironclad customer as well. So there's been a really wonderful relationship between the two organizations. They have a really, really solid team.
Perfect relationship. And I think that what we're seeing in terms of how the professional lives of lawyers are changing, it really is so fast. And I think that a lot of us didn't think we'd see this level of advancement or adoption during our careers. It's really just incredible. And in the legal field, we had seen innovation in terms of AI. And now I think we're, thanks to companies like Ironclad, it really seems to be on the front lines for our industry, really implementing and actually using AI. And why do you think, I mean, are you surprised by this sudden, okay, yes, we're going to adopt and evolve? And what do you think it makes it so different this time?
Yeah, I'm definitely surprised. You know, we've been working on Ironclad for about 9 years now, and we've always been pushing for technology adoption in the legal industry. And suddenly, about a year ago, there's this shift where it feels like the legal industry is like pulling us in terms of technology adoption. So yes, it's definitely surprising. And I think only in hindsight does it make sense to me. Like the legal industry is, in my mind at least, very much in the crosshairs of this AI, this new AI technology. I guess crosshairs, maybe it's the wrong word because that implies something really bad, but I think of it as something really incredible. Like we have this new technology, these large language models that are capable of reading, writing, and reasoning.
Yeah,
just like core parts of the practice of law. And also, weirdly enough, core parts of the practice of software engineering, you know, reading and writing and reasoning of code. And so both the legal industry and the software engineering industry, I think, are in the crosshairs, but in a really good way. We suddenly are able to take reading and writing and reasoning and do them with like pieces of silicon and electricity, a lot of electricity. and suddenly it can change our industry and make things and create things that we couldn't have dreamed of before. So in hindsight, not that surprising that the legal field is going from maybe like pushing to not adopt technology to suddenly racing ahead to adopt technology, but also just super exciting. Maybe one of the most exciting parts, I think, is, I don't know if you share this sentiment, but a lot of people what might say that the legal is often a technology laggard.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Not a controversial statement. Got it. But I actually think in this season of generative AI, legal is actually leading the way here, along with software engineering and maybe a few other industries, because this generative AI technology, it's not going to stop here. You know, reading and writing and reasoning, I think, are already incredible things to have computers doing. But we at Ironclad, what we think is next is having the AI be able to actually use tools and to strategize about how to use these tools. And if you're a fan of natural history, I feel like a lot of natural history books credit the rise of Homo sapiens to the ability of Homo sapien to know how to use tools and to be able to strategize about using these tools. So I think where generative AI is already a big topic, and I only see it getting bigger as we start to realize that these large language models are now capable of tool usage, are now capable of strategic planning. And suddenly all of that excitement and adoption from the legal industry, from the software engineering industry, is going to become a precedent that other industries are going to need to follow and learn from. Yes. Because all of a sudden, tool usage and strategic planning, like we can have computers do that as well. So yeah, it's just a really exciting moment in time.
Oh, I'm completely with you. I think crosshairs in a good way. And lawyers are quickly learning what can be achieved with directly chatting with and leveraging large language models. I mean, it's astounding. It's simply astounding, and it allows, I think, lawyers to be freed up to do more of what they should be doing. And as you said, just this tool, and you're right, going back to when we became Homo sapiens, learning how to leverage tools is what makes us human. So suddenly ChatGPT is here, and in a big way. And you really pivoted quickly using your legal engineers. What were some of the first strategies or actions that you took with your teams?
Well, once we realized that this technology was here, we basically started reevaluating all of the strategies, all of the products we were building to try to understand if these strategies were truly the shortest path to delivering huge customer value. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned the original domain name of Ironclad was ironclad.ai. We've had this theory that AI is going to change the face of legal and the face of contracting for almost a decade now. So we've had a lot of time to think about how AI should shape legal and should shape contracting. But we've always thought that technology is 5 to 10 years in the future. And it's constantly been exactly 5 to 10 years in the future until last year when it wasn't. So now things that used to be basically considered impossible are now considered simple and easy. I like to make the example of the Turing test, the idea that a computer can have a conversation with a human that is so convincing that the human doesn't realize they're talking to a computer. The Turing test has been passed many decades ago, but I would still venture to say, in order to field a system that does that, you'd need a pretty sizable team. Except now, after ChatGPT, a middle schooler who knows some coding, and they can probably pass the Turing test quite easily using this technology. So all of these things that used to be basically impossible are now actually really easy. And that means that these ideas that we've had about how we could deliver value to our customers, how we could change contracting into digital contracting for the better, are now no longer 5 to 10 years out, but maybe just around the corner, maybe coming out next quarter or next month. So we reconfigured our roadmap, reorganized our team slightly to make sure that we were taking the fastest path to delivering value for our customers.
Yeah, middle schoolers now passing the Turing test. It's incredible. Putting large language models to use for things like reading, writing, and reasoning, and soon having AI itself learn to use tools and strategies. It is the future, Kai. Joe Green, our Chief Innovation Officer, and John Scudato, our Legal Engineering and Data Strategy Manager, both, by the way, early adopters and leaders in the space, have leveraged our unique focus and their longstanding appreciation and knowledge of generative AI to build ChatGD. This is our secure version of ChatGPT, where our team can query and manipulate our own documents. Okay, let me segue our conversation into notions of responsible use of generative AI in the legal field, which also happened to be one of our first conversations which was coincidentally the day after we published a paper that cited Ironclad's commitment to the responsible use of AI. And in fact, Ironclad was one of the very first companies to publicly share their generative AI policy and also host amazing webinars earlier this year. Kai, can you discuss the principles that guide you and Ironclad and any challenges along the way in terms of developing those principles and guidelines?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we have at least two distinct sets of principles around generative AI. One is in our product development, where we're trying to make sure that the Ironclad product that we develop is surfacing generative AI to our users in a responsible way, not accidentally misleading them, making everything that it does explainable, manifests in AI Assist, which was our first generative AI application, and most recently in our contract assistant called Kai, which will released just now.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So yeah, contract AI is a really powerful chat interface for Ironclad. And it kind of explains its reasoning as it goes, which we think is one of the critical aspects of deploying AI responsibly in a product. AI is prone to hallucination and things like that, but you kind of have to treat it a little bit like an intern. A good intern is going to help you like check in with you when making critical decisions, is going to explain their work in a way that you as the mentor can check it. And we think that AI products should follow a similar pattern. Then there's so that's the first set of principles that we're following. I think what you were mainly asking about though was our second set of principles, which governs how we responsibly use generative AI in the workplace outside of our core product. And on that side of things, I actually think one of the guiding principles is generative AI is not a wave. This is a sea change. Mm. This is here to stay. And one of the top priorities for us is doing right by our teammates, doing right by our employees. In order to prepare for the future, you kind of need to be using, you know, ChatGPT in order to prepare for yourself for how work is going to be done in the future. And so we were looking for a way to make sure that our employees could use generative AI technology responsibly, because it was our responsibility to them to make sure that they're best prepared for the future that comes. And one of my favorite examples here is actually I think our brand design team was really leading the way here from early on in utilizing Midjourney to really up-level the brand expression across all of our different like public-facing assets. And it's a small team, but they've done an incredible job of punching well above their weight by heavily leaning into generative AI and, in my opinion, building a really unique brand expression in a very cost-effective manner. The other part of this, though, is making sure that we're doing right by our customers. And so a lot of our principles, a lot of our policies are around making sure that customer data is treated with the utmost level of security. And so that's what a lot of the policy is around, is making sure that customer data continues to be handled in the same manner it was handled before, even when the tools that are being used to, you know, work around it are changing so rapidly that it's almost impossible to keep track of.
True. Listen, transparency and explainability to customers, and also looking internally to providing guidelines for using AI in a way that protects proprietary information and complies with laws, to your point, Kai, ever-changing laws, regulations, ethical standards, and also company values. Really, what you say, it all rings true with the commitments that you've and Ironclad have publicly made. And I do just want to honestly thank you for all that and for really sharing that with the world. I think it's so critically important to keep the right guardrails in place and to really educate and to be market leaders in terms of making sure that we are explaining how the tool is used and where the insights it provides come from.
I appreciate it. And I should say, I can take no credit for either of the things I just explained. Our incredible legal team has definitely led the way in terms of creating a policy that strikes a great balance in terms of being able to adopt technology effectively, but also safely. And our wonderful design team has thought very, very hard about design principles to make sure that we're deploying AI responsibly in our product.
That it does. And yes, amazing, amazing team. Kai, much of this podcast is about learning from founders. Could you share concrete examples of how Ironclad's products have changed industries, highlighting both successes and maybe lessons learned along the way?
Absolutely. So in 9 years at Ironclad, the platform has processed over a billion contracts. Over a billion.
Wow.
I feel very confident that there are no other companies that can claim that. And we're adding hundreds of millions of contracts to that number every year. On the AI front, we just recently worked out that we've made over 10 million predictions, and that it's ultimately or cumulatively saved about 29 years of customer time.
That's blown away.
Yeah. So those I think are concrete examples, although maybe a little bit hard to fathom the scale of. I like to talk about a couple of customer examples that I've personally been blown away by. One of our customers is Orange Theory Fitness, if you're familiar with.
Of course.
Their legal team was able to use Ironclad AI to consolidate their membership template agreements. You know, Orange Theory, their business grew so, so quickly across America that, I mean, their legal team is wonderful, but I think it was maybe the company was scaling faster than their legal team could. And so I think there was a little bit of evolutionary design of their membership agreements. And so one of their team was tasked with consolidating those membership agreements. And she was able to take this project that should have taken a couple of months and did it in about a week using Ironclad AI. So that's a very specific example of, you know, some of these 29 years that we estimate have been saved. Yeah. We also have, contract review, repetitive contract review, I think is not everyone's favorite thing. And so we actually have customers who are using Ironclad AI to assist with that contract review for over 50% of their contracts. So there's a good chance that if you're contracting with an Ironclad customer, that there is some AI helping them review that contract and quickly get back to them on what's acceptable and what's not acceptable.
Saving decades of legal time. It's really amazing. And, you know, Kai, what's really so impressive is how your clients can leverage their own existing data to instantly generate these suggested red lines based on preferred clauses and language guidelines in their existing playbooks. It's no wonder so popular and time-saving.
I realized you also asked about lessons learned, and I think I focused. You said successes and lessons learned, and I think I focused on the successes. But in terms of lessons learned, I think one lesson that I've constantly relearned is just how much you can learn from your customers, from your users, and especially with generative AI being so new to all of us, there's been so much learning happening here at Ironclad by working closely with our customers. I've been kind of blown away by how customers take some of the AI features that we've released and use them in ways we just never imagined. We released this feature called AI Assist back at the beginning of the year, one of the first generative AI features in our industry. And we built the feature to help with contract drafting, like specific drafting of a specific part of a contract. But we heard stories about customers using that feature to kind of like interrogate why people might not like the clause, or using it to generate new language entirely. So there's so much to learn. And what I think is most exciting about this season of AI, this season of a technological innovation and shift, is that this technology is accessible to like almost everyone, or everyone with computer and internet access. And so when you're interacting with ChatGPT or another LLM technology or Ironclad AI, you may honestly be just a few seconds away from discovering something that no other human on the planet has ever discovered. And that's just wild, because previous technological innovations, I'm sure many technological innovations to come, are frequently limited to a small set of people who have access to that specific technology. And instead, now it's kind of been democratized and we all have access to it. And it's super cool.
It is, as you say, wild for sure. And you talked about Assist AI, you talked about Kai, which is just out. And I'd love to hear more about that. I know our listeners would as well. And maybe just generally Ironclad's long-term goals with respect to AI and how you foresee AI evolving within your products.
Yeah, Natalie, that's a great question. Our commitment to our customers is to always be on the forefront and on the cutting edge of AI, always using the best AI technologies that are available, but also always making those technologies accessible and usable. A few years ago, AI was still a thing that everyone was excited about. But I think the failure in our industry of AI has come from the fact that it's required an army of data scientists, a PhD in machine learning, to actually go ahead and implement. And so in a space as complex as the legal industry, where you need that legal expertise, that contracts expertise, you know, 100 other disciplines expertise, there's just no room to, on top of that, have a deep understanding of AI, machine learning, and data science. And so our commitment also to our customers is to make sure that these AI technologies are packaged in a way that you can just use, that you can find utility from on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis. In terms of the future, so we've just released Kai, Contract AI, in early access. I think there is a long way to go on this feature. We're continuing development on it at a heavy pace. And honestly, we wanted to get Kai out there because it's the kind of technology where we know our users are going to find new, incredible ways to use it that we wouldn't be able to predict if we kept it too close to the chest. Yeah. In particular, we're excited about the capabilities of large language models to learn how to use tools, to do strategic planning. And I think this is actually a pretty controversial position to take in the LLM community and the AI community right now. But I'll just go ahead and take it, which is, I think these large language models are exhibiting tool usage and strategic planning behavior. And in a way that's similar to how humans think of skill and tool usage and skill and strategic planning. And so the possibilities here feel pretty endless right now, at least to me.
Wow. Well, your team's been so good about building incredibly user-friendly solutions and then layering on creative new features. And it really sounds like you've come up with another game changer in Kai. Congratulations for that.
Thanks, Natalie.
Super exciting. Okay, so Kai, are you ready to take a quick fire challenge?
Sounds fun. Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. All right. So as a member of the MIT Symphony Orchestra, which you were, can you tell our listeners what musical piece best describes your journey with Ironclad? It's a tough one.
Yes. So as context, I'm a classically trained cellist. So I'm very partial to pieces that feature the cello heavily. And so there's a piece called The Rococo Variations by Tchaikovsky that I really love. And I need to explain that a little bit later, and you should absolutely listen to it. It's a wonderful piece of music. It's a theme in variations, which means it starts very simple with a simple, in this case, Rococo theme, and it gets increasingly complex, but always with the same theme. And in particular, Rococo Variations, I think, starts simple and gets increasingly complex, a lot like our journey with Ironclad has been. You know, starting pretty simple, getting much more complex. It gets very, very technically difficult. And I can tell you that building Ironclad, working at Ironclad, is difficult and complex. There are some sad moments in the middle of it. And there have certainly been some sad moments at Ironclad, but largely the piece is full of joy, full of energy, and just a really wonderful piece of music. So I think that best describes our journey with Ironclad so far.
Oh, amazing. Just amazing. Rococo Variations. Perfect. And Kai, I can personally attest for our listeners what an incredibly talented cellist you are, having had the privilege of seeing you in concert. Amazing.
Thank you.
Okay. Next question. What industry leader are you currently following that inspires your own leadership?
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a bit of a strange answer, but one of our advisors at Ironclad for a long time has been this guy, Michael Locke. He writes a blog on engineering management called RANS in Repose. And I think of him in part because I think my leadership style, I think in general, like the Ironclad leadership style, is to try and take a bit of a backseat as much as possible and put your teammates first. And so a lot of the industry leaders who are out there putting themselves out there I don't necessarily follow. I like the ones who are a little bit more laid back in the background trying to offer help. So I don't know how many people read Rants and Repose in the legal space. I know he's an engineering manager. For engineering managers, he's like almost required reading. And he's been so helpful to us at Ironclad. So he's definitely inspired a lot of my leadership style.
That's great. And I think more will read it now, thanks to you. Last one for you, Kai. If you can, describe Ironclad's mission in 5 words or less.
Yes. In fact, Ironclad has a mission statement, which is less than 5 words. It is power the world's contracts. And actually, if there's one thing to understand about Ironclad, it is that mission statement. If you want to understand who we are as a team, as a company, you know, why we make the decisions that we make, why we're either your friends or your foes, it is those words. We're on a mission to power the world's contracts. We are maybe unhealthily obsessed with contracts. And I think it informs our decisions on a day-to-day basis about where we take the company, where we invest, the kinds of problems that we help tackle, and the things that we get excitement and energy from. So yes, powering the world's contracts.
Powering the world's contracts. I love it. Let's do it. Wow. Kai, we are sadly out of time, but listen, you've shown us how innovation and vision can solve the toughest of problems, even in the legal field. Congratulations on all of Ironclad's success. And thanks for being here today, Kai.
Likewise, Natalie. This was a great conversation. Really enjoyed it. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners.
You've just listened to the Future Work Playbook. This podcast series is brought to you by Gunderson Dettmer, the world's number one law firm representing venture capital funds and high growth companies. Join Natalie Pierce on our next episode as she and her guests help prepare your organization for the future. Please subscribe to the Future Work Playbook.